Chapter 9. After a journey, here too I come to interview a ghost. Whither, oh whither will its whim now draw me? Up the cliff, down, till I'm lonely, lost, and the unseen waters' ejaculations awe me. Where you will next be there's no knowing, facing round about me everywhere, with your nut-colored hair, and gray eyes, and rose flush coming and going. Yes, I have re-entered your olden haunts at last. Through the years, through the dead scenes I have tracked you. What have you now found to say of our past viewed across the dark space wherein I have lacked you? Summer gave us sweets, but autumn wrought division? Things were not lastly as firstly well with us twain, you tell? But all's close now, despite time's derision. I see what you are doing. You are leading me on to the spots we knew when we haunted here together, the waterfall, above which the mist bow shone at the then fair hour in the then fair weather, and the cave just under, with a voice still so hollow, that it seems to call out to me from 40 years ago, when you were all aglow, and not the thin ghost, that I now frailly follow. Ignorant of what there is flitting here to see, the waked birds preen and the seals flop lazily, soon you will have, dear, to vanish from me, for the stars close their shutters and the dawn whitens hazily. Trust me, I mind not, though life flowers, the bringing me here. Nay, bring me here again. I am just the same as when our days were a joy, and our paths through flowers. Pentargon Bay. A death day recalled. Beanie did not quiver, Juliet grew not gray, thin Valency's river held its wonted way. Bow seemed not to utter dimmest note of dirge, Targan mouth a mutter to its creamy surge. Yet though he's, unheeding, listless, past the hour of her spirit's speeding, as he had, in her flower, sought and loved the places much, and often pined for their lonely faces when in towns confined. Why did not Valency in his pearl deplore one whose haunts were whence he drew his limpid store? Why did bows not thunder, Targan apprehend body and breath were sunder of their former friend? Beanie Cliff March 1870 March 1913. I, oh the opal, and the sapphire of that wandering western sea, and the woman riding high above with bright hair flapping free, the woman whom I loved so, and who loyally loved me. Two, the pale muse plain below us, and the waves seemed far away in a nether sky, engrossed in saying their ceaseless babbling say, as we laughed lightheartedly aloft on that clear sun March day. Three, a little cloud then cloaked us, and there flew anurized rain, and the Atlantic dyed its levels with a dull misfeatured stain, and then the sun burst out again, and purples prinked the main. IV, still in all its chasmal beauty bulks old Beanie to the sky, and shall she and I not go there once again now March is nigh, and the sweet things said in that March say anew there by and by? V, what if still in chasmal beauty looms that wild weird western shore, the woman now is elsewhere whom the ambling pony bore, and nor knows nor cares for Beanie, and will see it nevermore. At Castle Botherell, as I drive to the junction of lane and highway, and the drizzle bedrenches the wagonette, I look behind at the fading byway, and see on its slope, now glistening wet, distinctly yet, myself and a girlish form benighted in dry March weather. We climb the road beside a chaise. We had just alighted to ease the sturdy pony's load, when he sighed and slowed. What we did as we climbed, and what we talked of matters not much, nor to what it led, something that life will not be balked of without rude reason till hope is dead, and feeling fled. It filled but a minute. But was there ever a time of such quality, since or before, in that hill's story? To one mind never, though it has been climbed, foot swift, foot sore, by thousands more. Primeval rocks form the road's steep border, and much have they faced there, first and last, of the transitory in Earth's long order, but what they record in color and cast is that we too passed. And to me, though time's unflinching rigor, in mindless rote, has ruled from sight the substance now, one phantom figure remains on the slope, as when that night saw us alight. I look and see it there, shrinking, shrinking, I look back at it amid the rain for the very last time, for my sand is sinking, and I shall traverse old love's domain never again. March 1913. Places, nobody says. Ah, that is the place where chanced, in the hollow of years ago, what none of the three towns cared to know, the birth of a little girl of grace, the sweetest the house saw, first or last. Yet it was so on that day long past. Nobody thinks. There she lay in a room by the hoe, like the bud of a flower, and listened, just after the bedtime hour, to the stammering chimes that used to play the quaint old 113th tune in St. Andrew's Tower night, morn, and noon. Nobody calls to mind that here upon Botherell Hill, where the carters skid, with cheeks whose airy flush outbid fresh fruit in bloom, and free of fear, she cantered down, as if she must fall, though she never did, to the charm of all. Nay, one there is to whom these things, that nobody else's mind calls back, have a savor that seems in being lack, and a presence more than the actual brings, to whom today is many up and stale, and its urgent clack, but a vapid tale. Plymouth, March 1913. The phantom horsewoman. I, queer are the ways of a man I know. He comes and stands in a careworn craze, and looks at the sands and the seaward haze, with moveless hands and face and gaze, then turns to go. Dot dot, and what does he see when he gazes so? Two, they say he sees as an instant thing more clear than today, a sweet soft scene, that once was in play by that briny green. Yes, notes alway warm, real, and keen, what his back ears bring a phantom of his own figuring. Three, of this vision of his they might say more. Not only there does he see this sight, but everywhere in his brain day, night, as if on the air it were drawn rose bright, yea, far from that shore does he carry this vision of heretofore. IV, a ghost girl rider. And though, toil tried, he withers daily, time touches her not, but she still rides gaily in his rapt thought on that shagged and shawly Atlantic spot, and as when first I draws rein, and sings to the swing of the tide. Miscellaneous pieces. The wistful lady, love, while you were away there came to me from whence I cannot tell, a plaintive lady pale and passionless, who bent her eyes upon me critically, and weighed me with a wearing wistfulness, as if she knew me well. I saw no lady of that wistful sort as I came riding home. Perhaps she was some dame the fates constrained by memories sadder than she can support, or by unhappy vacancy of brain, to leave her roof and roam. Ah, but she knew me. And before this time I have seen her, lending ear to my light outdoor words, and pondering each, her frail white finger swayed in pantomime, as if she fain would close with me in speech, and yet would not come near. And once I saw her beckoning with her hand as I came into sight at an upper window, and I at last went out. But when I reached where as he had seemed to stand, and wandered up and down and searched about, I found as he had vanished quite. Then thought I how my dead love used to say, with a small smile, when she was waning wan, that she would hover round, and show herself after her passing day. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.